And now, the program for those striving to be successful, the achievers, connecting you with the people, the information, and the means to help you on your quest for success. This is The Positive Connection with Al Rochelle and Sam Simpson.
Hi, everybody. My name is Al Rochelle, and welcome to The Positude Connection.
And I'm Sam Simpson, and boy, do we have a great program for you today, if you want to be successful.
And who doesn't? In fact, we know that basically everyone wants to be happy and fulfilled. And that's really what success is all about. The problem is, according to the negative messages we're constantly exposed to, the only way to be successful is if you make a lot of money. Folks, that's wrong. We don't believe that here, and neither do millions of other achievers just like you. Success occurs in all aspects of our lives, family lives, business, spiritual, financial, health, lifestyle matters, when we live by a set of principles and a positive attitude. Anything is possible when we set our minds to it.
We use the word positive as an acronym for these principles. P stands for perseverance, O for optimism, S for self-awareness, I stands for integrity, T for truthfulness, U for understanding, D for dedication, and E for enthusiasm. In fact, that's why we're here. We want to connect you with people who are actively seeking to improve the quality of their lives, who understand that the only way to be successful is to live by a set of principles and have a positive attitude.
And Sam, here's another phrase we believe in. Success is a journey, not a destination. Oh yeah, a tough one sometimes. You know, you do have to work hard, but there are plenty of rewards along the way if you know what you're looking for that make life vibrant and exciting. And that's what we bring you here on a daily basis. In fact, today, we're going to talk with two guests who are both very successful. And even though their journeys to the top were very different, the tools they used to get there are right out of the old Positude manual.
We'll find out why a man who played for a team with the worst record in the National Football League is considered one of the best to ever play the game. We'll also find out why a man whose life reads like a disaster catalog is now helping literally hundreds of people cure their incurable phobias.
Plus, InfoBits on the fear of using the computer and how optimism can actually make you feel better. And of course, your phone calls as the Positude Connection continues.
Abraham Lincoln was great, not because he once lived in a cabin, but because his goals got him out of it. This is the Positude Connection.
You know, Sam, that posy bit about Abraham Lincoln, of course, we all know about the great things that he did, but did you know that Lincoln failed nearly a dozen times running for public office?
Yes, I do know that.
You know, he was thrashed three times in senatorial races. He went bankrupt, and he was literally mocked because of the way he looked and talked, but it didn't stop him from fulfilling what he called his God-given destiny.
And here's another great name, Al, Thomas Edison. It took him more than 10,000 failures before he finally discovered how to make the light bulb actually work. But when people put him down for his mistakes, he turned it around. He told them, "I've discovered 10,000 ways not to make the light bulb," and that in itself is quite an accomplishment.
Sure is. And now we have this business info bit. Add another name to the list of phobias circulating in the workplace. According to Office Team Management Group, many people today feel threatened by computers, specifically something that's called cyberspace. That's the internet and the exploding information superhighway taking shape. They're calling it cyberphobia. Now, the biggest problem is that most employees don't know where to begin trying to understand it all. And administrative professionals are feeling guilty if they're not surfing the internet, that is, digging for research information that could give them the competitive edge. Now, here's the medicine Office Team recommends. Number one, you don't have to master everything at once. The first step is just get a modem, get one of these programs, and get online. And you can find these programs, they offer the software free, in most any computer magazine. Here's another tip. Give yourself permission to make mistakes. The Apple Corporation says the highest learning curve on computers occurs not from reading those manuals, but actually running the computers. Two more quick suggestions. Find a computer guru who can sit down with you and show you how it all works. Now, that's pretty easy to do by just checking the ads in your local paper for computer clubs. And finally, there are some very good books that can help cure cyberphobia. They're called, and this is no joke, Sam, they are called the Dummies series. Those are books written for nearly every computer subject, including the Internet, in very simple, easy-to-understand language. Books that can make computer dummies look like computer geniuses practically overnight.
Well, my favorite suggestion that you have given is find that computer guru. Mine's coming over Saturday morning at 11:30.
This is the Positude Connection. To join us, call 1-800-POSITUDE. That's 1-800-767-4883.
You know, one of our goals here on the Positude Connection is to look for those people who exemplify the values that we talk a lot about here on the radio, drawing out the best in people, because there really are a lot of men and women of integrity in America who knows what it means to be successful.
And one of those is Leroy Salmon, a defensive lineman for the losingest team in NFL history. We're talking about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yet despite his team's record, he is considered one of the five greatest defensive linemen to ever play the game, and was recently inducted into the Football Hall of Fame. Leroy, thank you so much for joining us today. And were you surprised that you got in so easily?
Well, I was really very much surprised, pleasantly, I might add, at being selected in Hall of Fame, because, quite frankly, that's just one goal that I never had set for myself. So when it happened, I was quite surprised by it. And, you know, I just thought that this would be something that was not going to be a part of Leroy Salmon's life.
You know, when you think of the stereotype lineman, we tend to think of people like Mean Joe Green, Dirty and Nasty, Too Tall Jones, Lawrence Taylor. But I know you personally, Leroy, and you're really none of those.
Well, no, you go out on the field and you do have somewhat of a different mentality. You're out there to do a job and do it to the best of your ability and everything, and there's a contact sport. So you go out there and you play your hardest, and when it's over, I'm very good about leaving everything out on the field and realize that life goes on, and you go back to your family and your community and become a part and try to help out just like everyone else is.
I've heard you say that your mom was one of the biggest influences on your life.
Certainly so. Both my parents were very big influences in our lives. And, you know, first of all, I thank God for them, for the way that they taught us and raised us long before football became a part of our lives. And, you know, they raised 9 children, and they taught us all the same things. And I'm so proud of all my brothers and sisters who's applied those teachings that my parents taught me that's helped them to be successful. Things like hard work and discipline and making the, you know, the best choices that you could and being patient. And it's those types of things that, you know, a lot of us probably get tired of hearing, but those are certainly keys to success.
You know, there's also that stereotype among a lot of kids. Hey, you know, I'm going to grow up and be a football player or a basketball player, and then everything is going to be all right. And yet you're well-educated. You're a board member of a large bank. You're now the head of a major university's effort to start a football program. Do you think kids see that part, or just the fame and the riches that come with the NFL?
Well, I think today's children are beginning to see that their chances of playing any professional sports, having a professional sports career is pretty slim, just because of the few numbers that's available in those various types of professional occupations. And, you know, I think through encouragement from parents and teachers and other athletes that emphasizes, how important it is to get a good education, and that certainly there's many other ways that you can have a fulfilling and happy life that's not involved in the sports arena in a professional sports career. So I think they're preparing themselves better these days. They're a little bit more aware that school is important, and to have another occupation that you may be interested in and begin preparing for that now as well. And if by chance a professional career comes along your way, that really is what we always say is icing on the cake, so to speak.
You know, Leroy, we use this program to connect with folks who are striving to be successful. What do you personally think is the key to being happy and fulfilled?
Well, I think it's just sitting down and setting personal goals for oneself. You know, I think having God first in your life, that's an important key, because really through that you keep everything in perspective. I think if you can wake up every day and feel good and go out and do the very best that you can, then you've had a fulfilling day, and you're not living to try to meet other people's expectations, But more or less, you've got some expectations of yourself, and you go out to try to meet those expectations. And to me, no matter what those are, then you usually feel very, have a very fulfilling life and happy with the direction that you're going.
Leroy, we really appreciate you taking the time to be with us today. And let me just say on a personal note, I really appreciate the role model that you have been for us right here in the Tampa Bay region. We are so proud of you, buddy. Keep up the good work.
This is the Positude Connection.
This is Karen Wilden. Forget all those rules about what percentage of your salary you have to put away to retire comfortably. The problem isn't the percentage. It's the fact that fewer than 4 in 10 of us save anything for the future. Here's my advice. Start saving anything right now. And the key is to do it on a regular basis. Better yet, have it taken out of your salary at work. Once you're in the habit of saving, we'll talk about increasing the amount so it really makes a difference in the future. I'm financial planner Karen Wilden, and that's my positive.
It is really true, Al. It's not really so much how much you save, but it's the amount of time that you continue to save.
Yeah, we can take an example. I'm pulling out 2 $5 bills out of my billfold right now. And if I save $10 a week for the next 10 years at an average of 10% interest, I'm going to have more than $9,200. Now, that's a lot of money.
And if you think about that in practical terms, let's say that you've got a 7- or 8-year-old or a 9-year-old child that you know in 10 years is going to want to go to college. You start putting $40 a month away at 10% interest. When they're 18, you're going to have $10,000.
The trick is to start today.
Exactly.
To join us, call 1-800-POSITUDE. That's 1-800-767-4883.
John from Chicago. Hi, John. You're on the Positude Connection.
Oh, I tell you, I'm just really frustrated. You know, I've been broadcasting for 15 plus years, worked for a lot of different companies. And you know, a lot of people talk about principles and they talk about doing things the right way. And you know what? I just keep on seeing that what people say and what they do are two different things. And you know, I see people getting ahead not by their performance, but by what they just, by the boss and how they suck up to. And it's just really frustrating for me.
First of all, let me ask you this. Would it make you feel good if you had to step on somebody's back to get to the top?
Oh, no. No, but you know, I have an ego, and I like to be rewarded for my performance, and a lot comes with, you know, not that money is really important to me, but it is. I mean, I compare what I do compared to these people who are getting ahead, and I don't think they're any better than I am. As a matter of fact, I think I'm better than they are, but they seem to be getting ahead, getting the job titles, getting the promotions, getting the money.
Can I ask you something, John? Have you ever thought of moving on to something else? I mean, how important to you are your principles?
I'd like to be moving on. I don't know how to break away from what I'm doing to maybe doing something that's more suitable or maybe even having my own business without really taking the financial hit. And
okay, let me ask you, though. What's more important? Is the money more important or is going to bed at night and feeling good about yourself? Which do you want?
No, you're right.
You're going to have to make a choice. Can I live in this company environment and just turn my back when my principles are compromised? If you can do that, then you can continue to work for that company forever. But if you really care about yourself and care about those principles enough so that your kids see that you're setting a good example, then you're probably going to have to make a change.
I think one thing you need to think about too, John, is the fact that, you know, your family is 100% involved with you. And if you're frustrated every day coming home, being worried, you know, almost in bondage to that company, how are they going to be feeling when you come home and you're angry at them, you're under stress? If you truly, sincerely need to make a change, you talk to your family about it. Explain where you're coming from, you know. You can make it. You can get through this.
Bob, you're on the Positive Connection. I'm Al Rochelle, and Sam Simpson's with you today.
Hey, just wanted to comment on the last caller you had.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of in a similar position 2 years ago. I used to be a college professor, and I was really not very happy or fulfilled with the way things were going. The students weren't interested in learning, and the administration was more interested in maintaining the tuition dollars and seeing that the students actually learned anything. So what I did, I found some people that I trusted and respected and went into business with them. The key is, whatever you're going to do, if it's you're going to work for yourself, you're going to be in a corporate environment, is focusing on what you want to get out of it and focusing on the end result and not letting the little things distract you from your course. Starting your own business is not an easy process. In fact, it's difficult because you'll find that you don't have a lot of people you can turn to. But if you can stay focused on that end result and push through all the difficulties, then things will work out in the end.
Okay, what John wants to know is he wants to know how to get out. When did you finally decide that you had to get out? What was the thing that really broke the camel's back?
It was realizing that I couldn't really make a difference in the people's lives that I wanted to.
Wait, you're a professor? You couldn't make a difference in the lives of the students?
No, I really couldn't. And no matter how hard I tried, it just wasn't happening.
Bob, I have a question for you, and this is probably something that John's going to face as well. He talked about his, you know, the economic thing that he's going to go through. He's used to making a certain amount of money per year. He's got kids, he's got a family, he's got obligations. What did you do to prepare yourself? I don't know if you have a family or anything like that, but obviously your income must have gone down when you decided to, you know, begin your own business.
You have to have faith, and you're going to become overextended, but you got to stay focused on the end result. It's not an easy process, and if you have to liquidate your assets to stay in the game, then that's what you have to do.
But are you happier now than you were 2 years ago?
Oh, yeah, because what I'm doing now has much more meaning to me, and I would recommend it to anyone. If you're in a position that you don't like, find something that you want to do and go for it, whether it's working in another organization or whether it's working for yourself. But the one thing you can't do, you can't be in a situation and continue to complain about it, because that does that organization no good and does yourself no good. So either accept the way things are or go out on your own and find something else to do.
I think that's great advice, Bob.
Fantastic.
Really,
Bob,
good advice.
Thanks, Bob. Take care now.
This is the Positude Connection. Life with an attitude. Strictly positive.
If you'd like a taped copy of this program or any other Positude broadcast, just write down the date of the broadcast and call us at 1-800-POSITUDE. Your cost is just $10.
Now, what's that saying in life? No matter how bad it is for you, somebody else always has it worse. Well, I guess you could use that phrase to describe Gary Cox, who joins us right now. In fact, Gary, you are so popular that you made it into the National Enquirer.
If that's good, I guess so, Al.
Tell us some of the things that have happened to you in your life, and we won't dwell on the negative, but man, you were look like an accident waiting for a place to happen.
Let me tell you two good things. When I was 11, I started my own business. When I was 15, I started my second business. Soon after that, I was making like $100,000 a year. Things were great. Then that's when the things started changing. When I was 17, I got married. My wife and I, we had a baby boy. Then she tells me the baby wasn't mine. My father was murdered. My grandfather and stepfather died of cancer. My uncle was killed in a plane crash. I mean, just the list goes on and on and on. I had $100,000 worth of my business. I lost that. I had $30,000 in the bank. I lost all that. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And most of that, unfortunately, Al, happened by the time I was 21.
And this, folks, is not a fairy tale. This is all verifiable and true. How could you turn it around?
There's two reasons. Number one, I've always had a strong belief in prayer, of course, and I've also always had a target. But, you know, I've learned that the bottom line is it's a choice. And I decided, well, am I going to let this get me down? And, of course, I have to be very honest with you. At one point, I did. I mean, I was at the point of wanting to commit suicide. I mean, I'm going to lay the cards on the table here. But then I got to the point it was so bad, I said, look, I've got to be able to make a change. And I also knew one thing, that change comes from me. I have to decide to make that change. And once I decided to make that change, I started making things happen. And now I'm able to do that for myself and also other people. But I do it, I go beyond this, you know, positive thinking stuff, which is good, but it doesn't last long. It has to be conditioned with a belief system and the proper thinking and the proper attitude.
Gary, for somebody who has considered suicide, I mean, that's an extremely low point.
Sure.
What happened at that time that you were able to turn things around? Did you get some help? Did you talk to someone? That's not an easy process to do by yourself.
Well, I guess, Sam, I had an advantage. I knew that if I was on top of it, if you will, at 16, 17, 18 years old, even though I lost it all once, I could get it back again.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that. And I think that was the strongest thing in my mind, because if I knew I could get over, you know, or I could get to the top, if you will, once, I could do it again. And if I lose it again, I could do it again. And I think that was one of the things that let me realize that it could, you know, it could happen again.
Now, we talked about this thing. The difference between somebody who's a positive thinker is that if you have a rotten apple and you take a bite out of it, if you're a positive thinker, you just say that it tasted fine, when in reality, it really doesn't. If you develop a positive attitude, you're smart enough not to take a bite out of the stupid rotten apple to begin with.
Positive thinking is like spray paint on rust. It doesn't last long. It's like, let's say I invite all of you over to my house and we're going to bake some cookies. Sam, you'd probably agree that you have to have eggs in your ingredients for the cookies to taste right. Would you agree with that?
And chocolate chips.
Oh, I like you. You're so good. Okay. So let's go ahead. You know, we get all the ingredients together and we put the cookies in the oven and I take them out now. I give you a bite and then you say to me, Gary, something just doesn't taste right. And then I look over to the counter. I notice that I forgot to put the eggs in the ingredient. If I said to you, okay, well, Al, let me get your cookie back there, and I get the eggs and I crack them all in a bowl there and I stir up the raw eggs and I dip your cookie into the raw egg, what do you think now?
Salmonella comes to mind.
There you go. Now, but did we not agree earlier that you had to have the eggs in the cookies? Absolutely, but the timing is wrong there. So for us to have those cookies taste right, and for it to be effective, we have to start from what?
Scratch.
Scratch. That's the bottom line. That's when the positive thinking, or the eggs, if you will start to take root. So the timing has to be right, and that comes part of a conditioning process.
Right. It's called behavior modification.
Absolutely.
And a lot of people, in particular, a lot of motivational speakers will go out there and put on this giant show,
yes,
and that's all it is, rather than dealing with the root causes for the problem in the first place.
Absolutely. It's like going to a motivational seminar, and I have nothing against them. They're great. But at the end of the day, you know, you feel all excited and pumped up. You wake up the next morning and you wonder where the pump's at. It's gone. But we have the capability as humans to condition our thought process so we can keep that pump virtually every single day. That's the challenge. Once we learn how to master that, it's incredible what we're capable of accomplishing.
You know, Gary, I hate to fly.
I'm
scared of flying.
I'm the guy that can help you on
the
that.
The plane will crash someday.
In other words, any flight you go into, you believe that particular flight's going to go down?
Yeah, it could go down. Absolutely.
Okay, well, number one is...
What are you going to do? Hog-tie me and strap me into a plane and make me go up?
No, the number one thing is... Well, the bottom line is, Al, we have to determine from everybody if they really want to make change. Most of us say we want certain things in life, but we really don't mean them. Before a person can make any change and have it last, if you will, we need to establish, is that person really serious about making change? And I think a person needs to understand what that really means.
I think that, Gary, that you've hit on actually one of the principles of positude, which is a self-awareness, and that is one of the critical things that we encourage everybody to
sure
be a part of, getting to know yourself, finding
right
out what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are, what you need to change, what you will live with, what you won't live with, your boundaries. It's very, very important.
Yeah, I believe that, too, and I think a lot of people, unfortunately, haven't taken the time to identify that.
Gary, can you do me a favor? Give me two or three steps that we have to take to break through on phobias.
Number one, to make any change with regards to a phobia, that individual needs to identify what they do in a negative way unconsciously. Now, there's three ways we do things in a negative way. Number one, through our words, how we see things. That would be the second one, how we say them, our tone. And then three, our physiology. We have negative ways of communicating to our brain, negative associations to a phobia. Then the next thing is we need to learn how to change those negative to a positive,
mm-hmm,
okay? Then we have to believe the positive. Just saying I'm not going to fall off the bridge doesn't create a belief, and that's where we change the communication by using the words, our tone, and physiology, and a couple other steps and strategies.
Great. Gary Cox, how do we refer to you as you now? The phobia man or what?
No, I'm referred to usually as a success coach or a peak performance consultant.
Well, I like that. The peak performance consultant, Gary Cox. Gary, have a great day, bud.
Thanks for calling.
All thanks,
right.
Gary.
Looking forward to talking to you again.
The difference between ordinary and extraordinary is that little extra.
This is the Positude Connection.
This is Al Rochelle again with some very important questions for you. Would you like to be more successful? Would you like your business to be more profitable? Let us show you how with the Positude Seminars for Success. We've affiliated this radio program with the best trainers in the country, seasoned veterans who have a track record of solid performance. These seminars will give you the tools you need to succeed. Now here's the easiest part. For more information or to arrange a Positude Seminar for Success in your area, call this one number, 1-800-POSITUDE. That's 1-800-767-4883. It will be the most productive phone call you've made in years.
Welcome back to the Positude Connection. My name is Al Rochelle.
And my name is Sam Simpson.
And now, this health info bit.
Well, Al, I imagine you've heard the phrase, a merry heart maketh good medicine. Well, now there's scientific proof that an optimistic attitude can actually contribute to a healthier life. Researchers at UCLA say that it appears the more optimistic a person is, the more endorphins are produced. Now, endorphins are chemicals that the body produces to reduce pain and create what we call a natural high. Endorphins can be produced when you are laughing, when you work out, when you're doing something that you really love doing. Now researchers are actually able to measure the levels of endorphins that your body produces. According to researcher Colleen Gilchrist, they're still a long way from understanding how this complicated chemical process works, but they do know that the amounts of endorphins produced is directly related to brain activity. And brain activity that is associated with optimistic thinking appears to produce the largest amounts of these chemicals. So, Al, if someone asks you why you're so happy and optimistic all the time, you can tell them you're on a natural high.
And you know, Sam, there are some great books that have been written on this subject, particularly the ones by Dr. Bernie Siegel. The one that I can think of right now is called The Power to Heal. Dr. Siegel actually documents how people that have an optimistic attitude about things live longer, even with terminal cancer, than those who are pessimistic about what's going on in their life, by Dr. Bernie Siegel. And if you want some help finding it, just give us a call here at 1-800-POSITIVE. That's 1-800-767-4883, and we'll help you find the book.
The pessimist sees difficulty in every opportunity. The optimist sees opportunity in every difficulty.
This is the Positude Connection.
And now it's time for our 60-second solution, and here's Al Rochelle to tell you how it works.
Pretty simple, Sam. All you do is contact us with your problem. Tell us what it is, and we're going to try to give you some practical advice on solving it. Here's today's letter.
Dear Al and Sam, I just found out 2 weeks ago that my company is downsizing and my job is going to be eliminated in 9 months. As if that isn't bad enough, my company is offering those of us getting axed, there's about 300 of us, a 2-day seminar on how to find another job. I know I ought to be thankful for the seminar, but at this point I'm just so angry. I've worked for 17 years. I'm thinking of calling in sick or just quitting right now to get back at the company, and I can get the jump on the other 300 people who'll be out of work pretty soon. What do you think? That's signed Clarence from Dallas.
Well, first of all, Clarence, we really do feel for you. I can't tell you how many of my friends have gotten axed as companies try to reconfigure for the future. If you're angry, well, then vent on us, as you've probably done in this letter, or go out and run 5 miles. The point is, get it out of your system. Don't let your anger cloud your judgment. Believe me, the only person that you're hurting if you don't attend that seminar is really you. I don't think it's a good idea to just quit your job. I mean, do you think it's going to hurt the company one little bit or exact any justice if you suddenly walk out the door? No. And besides, the best way to find a better job, and really, Clarence, isn't that what you want in the first place, is to find it while you are employed. And even though that company seminar on finding another job may seem like it smacks of hypocrisy, it could actually be very valuable if you go into it with a positive attitude. And you know, Clarence, you're right. You need to take that anger and channel it constructively. Start looking for that new job right now before all the other 300 people who are being laid off flood the job market. It's like one of our guests said today, you've got to start out by changing your belief system about this layoff by saying something like, I believe this is going to be the best thing that could ever happen to me. Now, that's going to take a lot of perseverance and optimism. It's also a pretty tough leap. But I can tell you, Clarence, if you start heading that direction by going to that seminar, it's a small step. But once you've made it, the other steps toward finding a new job are going to come a lot easier.
And Clarence, here's a great book on that very subject that might give you some help too. It's called Landing on My Feet Again by Gil Robinson. If you don't have a pen, well, just give us a call and we'll tell you where you can get it. Our phone number, 1-800-POSITUDE, 1-800-767-4883.
And that does it for our program today. If you'd like more information on anything we've talked about, please give us a call or drop us a line at Positude, P.O. Box 3100, Clearwater, Florida, 34620. We're here to energize you and help you realize your dream for success and happiness.
And for Al Rochelle and all the folks at the Positude Connection, my name is Sam Simpson, telling you to have a very positive day. Thanks for listening.